Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Ramble.
You know, I was in that first Try Not to Laugh with the gang, with Olivia. I don't know how she comes up with the things she comes up with, because they're beyond just weird.
When we did Try Not to Laugh Live, I had a plan to do the singing Big Mouth Billy Bass, and now he's gonna do World War II. And everyone was like, oh.
I think Try Not to Laugh, we also have a tendency to be hard on ourselves.
Oh, for sure, filming. For sure.
So I was like, you did great. I was a dumpster fire.
We
you
all
did
do
great.
That.
If somebody's giving money to Pokimane, big fucking deal, it's not your money. Do I sit outside a strip club and yell at people for throwing their money?
Not no. anymore, because I'm not allowed on the property. Time to cast a pie. We're doing our best.
Time to eat a pie.
Eat a pie.
Oh yeah, speaking of eat a pie, did you eat any of
your birthday pie?
You haven't?
I haven't yet.
You have two whole pies.
I have one pie. I gave the other to Brennan. Because Brennan has a bunch of roommates. And I was like, you guys eat this. I'm not going to take two pies home, have a couple slices of one pie, and then throw another pie away.
It's your birthday. What is that, if not a monument to excess?
Yeah. And just gluttony.
Just gluttony. For context, it was Shane's birthday yesterday, and he was given pie by...
Banana cream pie.
Which is very topical for this podcast, which is coming out, what is this, October 50th?
Yep. September 19th.
September. It was a chill birthday. I had a COVID birthday.
Nice.
Can't believe I ended up with one. I didn't think it was going to happen.
Really?
Back in like March, I thought by September, I didn't think like, oh, the world's going to be completely normal. But I was just like, oh, I'll be able to, it'll be different by then.
And keep it up, buddy. You might have more than one.
Boy, I mean, dude, that's the problem is it, like in March, I was like, all right, we got to plan on this till summer. Now I'm like, okay, I'm planning on it till next summer. But honestly, I'm kind of like, fuck, is this just life?
This is normal.
Is this just life
from now on?
I saw some article that was like, this is just the beginning of the pandemics for like this new future that we live in. And
welcome
I was like,
to the Smosh Cast.
Now, if you don't know, we're a comedy channel. just trust us on that.
Oh my God. Man, I know it's been just brutal for everyone, but you know that in March there was a part of me that was kind of like, as an introvert, was like, oh, like, you know, I'm excited to like get some more time alone. And now by this point, and I know everyone's feels it, but I'm like, fuck this virus, man.
Yeah,
God damn,
those are strong words. You don't like this virus?
Well, we have to politicize everything, don't we? Can't agree on anything.
God. Yeah. But I'm just like, oh, I'm tired. Tired of it. But I know it's so much worse for so many people. Like I think about that. I'm like, if I'm frustrated, I'm probably in the top 1% of like, this has not fucked up my life that much.
Right.
Yeah. So if I'm frustrated, I can only imagine how everyone feels.
Well, it's doubly frustrating knowing that like so many other places have gone through this, taken the proper measures, and have come out the other side just fine. Like New Zealand has had two rounds of like, everything's fine. Oh, wait, one person is up. Okay, let's close down again. And we're back. Everything's good.
Yeah.
It's like, man, like...
My neighbors have like a second home in Croatia, I guess.
Dope.
So they just like bounced for like, I don't know, like a month or two. And they're like, yeah, we're coming back. We're really sad because like life was totally normal or mostly normal. Like people were wearing masks and stuff, but like they were able to do things.
I might wear a mask forever. I might just start doing that now. Yeah. Like, why not? Because I have not gotten sick this year.
Same.
And it's been a long time. I usually get sick. Like, I usually get a cold or something. I have not gotten sick this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's probably because I am taking all these measures.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I was thinking about that with, because flu season's going to be coming soon. Mm. So, and I actually got a text from like CVS today being like, flu shot. And I was like, God, is it really that time again?
I need to get it.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, because we talked about in the office last year, we're like, hey, you know, if you feel like you might possibly be sick in relation to the flu virus, we're like, don't come into work because like you can get other people sick. And several people did catch the flu last year.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
That's always my frustration because we have an office full of troopers, an office full of champions that are like, no, honestly, it's not that bad. I feel like I still want to come in and get work done. I don't want to fall behind. And like every time someone does that, I'm like, you mother father, it has nothing to do with you.
But you're right. I know a couple people that we work with who definitely have come in and they're like, yeah, I'm sick, but it's fine. And I'm like,
go home.
No. I was like, don't. We're in a small space. Yeah. Get out.
One of us is going home right now. It can be me. But it would be.
I think you know, there's very small benefits to this year. And I do think one is like people are more conscious of sickness now. Because I think that mindset, if, you know, say in a perfect world in a couple of years, coronavirus is gone, right? It won't, but whatever. Let's say it is. People, I think, when they have the flu are going to stay home and they're going to be like, whoa, you're sick? I need to social distance and wear a mask when I'm around you.
My fear is that it might go in the opposite direction because we've sort of shown that our national like mindset is exercising freedom for freedom's sake, even if it doesn't make sense. It's like, because I can, because I want to. So if we've all been sort of quarantined for so long and had these restrictions, I think once these restrictions leave, you might have a lot of people that are like, yeah, I can do whatever with anybody all the time.
And I think at least at the very, very least, I feel like a lot more people have learned how viruses are transmitted.
I hope so.
I think now you might actually start to see like where in like Japan, it was very normal. Once you feel sick, you wear a mask. If you ever feel a little bit sick, you wear a mask. And that was totally normalized there. Now I'm sure like, I feel like we're going to start to see like a normalization of that past. Mm-hmm. Once we get COVID figured out, like I think that might just become a normal thing that people are conscientious enough to put on a mask whenever they feel like they might have a virus.
It's definitely been split. I feel like this has split. We see two different types of Americans. There's people who are listening to experts. And then there's just a half of this country that thinks they're gods. Like truly they're like, I know everything. Mm-hmm. No one can tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have to listen to anyone. And I'm just like, damn. Like,
that's what I'm saying. We got a lot of sake.
It's just, yeah, you're right. It's there.
Like, it doesn't even benefit
They just don't want anyone anybody. To tell them what to do.
Yeah.
Did you see the frat house in Florida?
Yeah.
They were like, the cop like came to like be like, hey, you guys got, there's too many people here. And they're like, oh, okay. And he like does it. He runs the guy's ID on his database. And he's like, hey, this is interesting. You were flagged for testing positive for COVID. And the guy was like, yeah, I tested positive like last week. And he's like, and you have people over at your house and you're not quarantining? Well, our whole house has it. We're all positive. And the guy's just like, you could tell like the cop is trying to be like as as like restrained as possible. He's like, you invited people over?
Hand on his gun, like, so you're telling me?
Yeah, that's so dumb. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's also tough because, like, I think with previous things, you know, have this sort of nihilistic mindset of like, well, natural selection. Guess they're going to do stupid things and it's going to hurt them. But it hurts everybody. That's the main difference this time. So you don't get to be like, well, do the dumb thing. It's like, no, for the love of God, our future is dependent on that frat house in Florida not being dumb. And that's what's terrifying to me because I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No,
man. Florida, Florida's always going to be Florida too.
Well, I just mean more like whatever state, whatever
we're only
culture,
as healthy
whatever
as the
anything,
worst of us.
Look, we're only as healthy as the worst of us.
There's dummies everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Well, Florida, but America, America's doing pretty hefty work on the dummies. Oh. Like I gotta admit, like I know there's dumbasses everywhere. America's just got a whole collection. Like it's like, man, Funko Pops, like, you know, Australia's got some Funko Pops. UK's got some Funko Pops. America's Funko Pops.
We have every Beanie Baby.
We have every Beanie Baby. She's got a whole different thing.
Yeah, I got a little taste of the dummies when I made a tweet about climate change and got people telling me that it doesn't exist and that our all of our fires, they're like, oh, but California just doesn't do brush maintenance. Yeah. Which
we didn't sweep our forests. Yes.
Thanks, Deborah 8805505.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, there might be something partially to do with some sort of maintenance, no, like not doing controlled burns, sure, that kind of stuff. I get that. But California isn't controlling all the forests in all of the world where everything else is burning.
Oh, carefully, and that's like, going to be the next conspiracy.
Yeah, right.
Like Hollywood controls forests.
Well, the new one was because the way that the federal government shows fires in the U.S., they're only showing fires in the U.S. So when they show like a picture of North America and they're showing where the fires are in the U.S., the dummies are like, oh, look, there's no fires in Mexico or Canada, so it must be set off by Antifa.
Oh, no.
And they're like, no, they just don't. They're just not showing where the fires are happening in Canada, which there are a lot of fires there as well.
It's the same thing I've seen with like people likening COVID spread rates to 5G towers. So they're like, look at this map of 5G towers. And it's very much follows like the big cities. And then it's like, yeah, now look at these COVID things. And it's like one to one. They're like, I'm sorry, but I see this thing. It's got to be the same. And it's like, no, there's more 5G towers where there are a lot of people and a lot of viruses spread where there's a lot of people.
Like the conspiracy theory stuff. I do think conspiracy theory fandom has caused like a lot of this bullshit.
Yeah, I agree.
People love conspiracy theories, and conspiracy theories, in order to a whole basis of a conspiracy theory is to throw logic out the window and to work with a different form of logic. You're going, I think this is true, and I'm only going to look for things that prove it to be true.
You're literally
how you find an answer to anything.
I'm operating outside of what you already think is true. Mm-hmm. You guys are in a snow globe and I'm out here. And that's why you can't tell me what makes sense and what doesn't, because you guys are still trapped in that snow globe. And it's like, well,
and I think also like I wouldn't even completely place the blame on the people themselves. It's they might have shown, and I just watched this really great documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. And they kind of talk about how the algorithms a lot of these social media companies have basically caused all these social problems. Mm-hmm. And one of them being, you know, with something like Facebook, if you showed an interest in like anti-vax and you're following an anti-vax,
they're gonna
thread,
give you more.
Then they give you like the algorithm says like, oh, well, you like this stuff, so you'll probably like this stuff. So these people that might be into like one conspiracy theory suddenly get thrown into every conspiracy theory.
It's true. And I do have to remind myself sometimes that, you know, social media apps and stuff are designed in a way that heighten a lot of stuff. I was thinking about it with Twitter, because I tweeted the other day that I was like, one of the top three responses to any tweet you click on, right? Especially if it's viral, one of the top three responses is going to be one of the most insane things you've ever heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's, they always go to the top because everyone responds to that.
Yeah.
So like, it'll just be like it'll be a video of a dog. And then like one of the top comments will be like, I think dogs should all be killed. And then everyone's like, why would you say that? Why would you? And then that gets to the top. So you're only seeing crazy people. We give the crazy people a spotlight.
Well,
I think
it's important to remember, especially for things like Twitter, if you don't know the person that's tweeting and they're not like a verified account, or you don't know them personally, don't believe that they're a real page, because there's other countries out there or other bad actors out there that are creating these bots that are very convincing.
Also just a lot of trolls. Just a lot of people who are just saying crazy stuff.
Well, and kids. Like anybody could be anybody online, right? And there's not as much of an age gate anymore. So like, I think a lot of people are meeting each other online and like having these arguments, and they never should have met in the first place. There might be someone who's like 38 and lives in this part of the country, and then someone who's 11 and is fresh to Twitter and then is in this part of the country, and their text looks the same. Their speech sounds the same online because you're reading it in your head. So in your mind, you're arguing with like, I bet this lady has a PhD in science and I'm going to prove her wrong. In reality, you're just two normal ass people, like just bickering back and forth, and you were never supposed to ever interact in your lives.
You can also, it's the equivalent now on Twitter with back when you were a kid, when you'd be like, yeah, well, my dad's an astronaut.
Yeah.
On Twitter, it's, oh yeah, I'm a scientist. Yeah. I'm a scientist. oh yeah, I'm a cowboy astronaut.
Yeah.
Like, you...
oh, it's like, I forget who tweeted it, so I'm so sorry. If you find them, please give them credit. But it was something to the effect about, like, me tweets about crows, next response, hi, crow scientist here. I
but I've literally seen that.
I have too.
And I'm just
it's
like...
real.
And I'll click on that page, and I'm just like, you have nothing in your bio, nothing. I have zero proof mm-hmm. that you are actually a, you know, gynecologist or whatever you're claiming to be in this mm-hmm. thread yeah. to have expertise. You can just say it. I can't, because people see that I'm like, I'm a professional idiot. But if you're just a random account, you could just be like, yeah, my dad's president of this country. Or yeah, I'm an Olympic long jumper.
Yeah.
Like, you just say it.
You just say
I've reported so many accounts.
Good.
Like not people that are coming for me, but literally just accounts that I see talking about like politics or whatever. And I go to their page and it was created in August of 2020.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you're a bot. Nobody's created a Twitter account within the last 2 months.
Yeah.
That's just like, what is this newfangled thing? No, fuck off.
It's also a first name with 50 numbers after it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a bot. And
do you ever notice when like bots get something wrong? Like you'll say something like, you know, the craziest thing about global warming is blah, blah, blah. And then you'll go off on a total tangent and not talk about global warming anymore. And they'll pop in and be like, global warming, nice job. QAnon is letting us know what's going on. And you're like, whoa, that wasn't actually the topic that was at hand. Yeah. You're responding. And
I get a lot of like weird responses, or I see a lot of weird responses that have nothing to do with the tweet they're responding to.
It's a botched bot.
Yeah. So guys, mm-hmm. we're about 14 minutes into this podcast already. I don't think you introduced yourself, and I don't know if we've talked about what this podcast is.
We got too heated, bro.
We can just cut that all out.
We got
this
heated.
This is a heated subject.
Sorry.
Hello. Welcome to the Smoshcast, everybody.
Hi.
I am your burpee host,
nice.
Ian Hecox. Today I'm joined by Damien Haas.
Hi, that's me. I'm not Ian Hecox. I'm Damien Haas.
And what's your name?
Hi, I'm Damien Haas. I'm not Ian Hecox.
Okay.
That's going to confuse everybody. Why don't we just all be Ian Hecox?
Okay, we're all Ian Hecox here.
All right. I'm joined by Ian Hecox,
hi.
Ian Haas, and Ian Top.
Nice.
Nice, nice.
So today we thought we would talk about sort of the try not to laugh fails or things that went wrong and try not to laugh, and just pull back the cover on Try Not to Laugh, give you guys a little behind the scenes look into what makes Try Not to Laugh work and what makes it doesn't work.
What makes it doesn't work?
Makes
no,
it
that makes
not
sense.
No, I'm doesn't.
No, I'm. And Fry, you've got that brain thing. I already did.
I don't get the
it's,
reference.
Oh, it's Futurama.
Well, I got that it was Futurama.
He's like, and Fry, you've got that brain thing. I already did.
It's just
a non sequitur. It's just
he says incorrect responses.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, great. That is
me. Because someone calls him stupid at one point, and he goes, no, I'm doesn't.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
God. Anyways, so
he's really good at trying not to laugh too.
Try not to laugh.
We're never gonna get.
Yeah,
to
this. Our brains are fried. Ha ha. Fried.
So Futurama.
Well, I mean, I have some questions here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From our lovely viewers and listeners.
Ooh.
So yeah, let's just jump right into that.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Kevin this one is comes, just shaking his head. He's so
Kevin's just like, God damn it.
He's like rubbing his eyes like you'd rub your temples.
He's like, I have to edit this.
All right, this one comes from Hopeful Smiles. They asked, do you have any bits that went in a completely different way than you expected when you first went out? Like the person's reaction, a prop not working, other fails, you changing what you're going to say to do or do last minute, etc. So do you have anything that you like went out with and it turned out not as you expected?
Actually, one just popped into mind. Shane, you and I have a habit of like having the same idea out of nowhere at the same time with, from what I can tell, no actual like direct influence or correlation to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
But, and so like sometimes there's moments where we're like backstage and you're like, do you want to go or can I go? Can I hop out? And it's like, yeah, go for it. And I remember there was one where like, I don't usually plan out my bits too much, but we had just been filming so much. I was like, I need to come out with something because I'm like running out of thoughts.
Yeah.
It's not fresh for me right now. And I had like planned on like this waiter taking the order of someone that they had freshly broken up with or whatever. It was like an ex. And then you go out And you do literally that bit. We hadn't talked about it. There was no way you could have known. You just had the same idea. It was parallel thinking. And that's happened a couple times now. So in that moment, you're like, ah, do I try it? Can I make it different in the moment? And then it just ends up looking weird.
Yeah.
Because there was a time, I remember that I was about to go out. We were both like kind of getting ready. And then I was like, I think I'm going to do a Riverdale bit. And you're like, I was just about to do a Riverdale bit. And I was like, okay, you do it. And then I was just like,
well, yeah.
But that happens all the time where I'm like, what the fuck?
That one, I think we both saw the same. I mean, this is still a very light way to get inspiration. But like, we both saw a Letterman jacket backstage in a football. And I was like, okay, we can do a Riverdale thing.
Yeah, so, it's still funny. Like,
well, and half of pop culture is Riverdale, as everyone knows.
I'm waiting for the day that me and Olivia have the same idea. That'll never. It's impossible. I don't think I could ever guess what Olivia's thinking.
I'm trying to think of like a bit that went the wrong way. I mean, like I would say that pretty much all my bits are like half baked because I don't pre-plan a lot of bits. I usually just kind of like look at what's there and then go out, and I don't fully commit.
That makes sense.
When we did Try Not to Laugh Live, when we did the little tour in Portland, I had a plan to do the singing Big Mouth Billy Bass. But but he sings about World War II.
Fun.
In the tune of...
Kids will love that.
In the tune of...
Fortunate
Two
Son.
Princes.
No, in...
we had some different
come
ideas
Come on,
there.
Baby.
Do the twist.
Yeah, do the twist. Yeah, do the twist. Cool. In the tune of Do the Twist.
Cool.
But then, like, because you have a whole audience there, I was like, yeah, he's history class was banned or something. I had some like weird premise that I set it up with. I was like, history class was banned, but they will allow you to learn from a singing Big Mouth Billy Bass. And I was like,
that.
And now he's gonna do World War II. And everyone was like, oh, and I was like, okay.
The live audience hits different. For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it was trippy.
And then so I basically ended the song with mentioning that Hitler killed himself. The audience didn't love that.
Sure.
And it was always kind of my opinion that like suicide isn't funny unless you're talking about Hitler's suicide. Then you can joke about that because fuck that guy.
Well, definitely not a fan of Hitler.
Yeah.
I think
I'm gonna go on record here. Yeah,
let me just get it out.
Not
there.
A good guy.
Wow, you're getting really political.
You
here.
Know, sorry, I'm taking big stances today. Well, no, I think that's actually a fair point. That is sort of an overarching thing where like we live in a time where people are becoming more and more like socially aware, and with that, we're all sort of deciding all at once as a society whether it's in the special bubble on Twitter or whatever. Ever, like what is cool and what is not. So like I remember like when I was younger, I probably, you know, would have had that mindset too of like, well, no, I'm talking about Hitler doing it. That's fine, right? Because we don't even like Hitler. But now it's more about like, well, the topic in general is the thing. So like it's interesting being on a comedy channel during this time and just always listening and being like, oh, got it. I'll know that for next time.
I think it was just a little too shocking for the audience.
Sure.
Because I was like, and then he killed himself. And, you know, people were very shocked, but I was like, but fuck them.
I think a lot of those audiences, when we were doing it live, they were just very engaged. So they were just having big reactions to everything. So I don't think it was always negative. It was just like, oh,
yeah.
What? Oh.
Actually, that is way better than silence.
It was definitely,
we never had silent audiences.
No, it was definitely like just more of like, an exclamation than like laugh out loud laughter.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that hit different.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it's a good thing I didn't mention that he also like had his dogs killed at the same time.
Yeah, it's probably a good time you didn't bring.
Yeah, it's probably not a thing.
It's okay.
Yeah. That's crazy. Why the dogs?
I don't know. Are we surprised by Hitler at this point? Like,
you know what? That's the straw.
You know what? I can't believe this guy canceled.
Because I like did a little research. I wanted to make sure, and I was like, he did what? What do the dogs have to do with it? Like,
did anyone he killed have to do with it?
Although I'm pretty sure those dogs are probably racist as fuck.
That's probably true.
It's probably, I mean.
My craziest try not to laugh. Probably. Oh my God. I can't tell you the amount of times I've gone out and I have a sort of idea and I sort of do it and then that person doesn't laugh, mm-hmm. and then I'm there and I'm like, well, now I got to figure this out. Honestly, like one that you'd think it was part of the bit, but when I did Clarissa, which is where basically like a lot of times on set, on when we're filming, try not to laugh, I'll see a silly outfit. I'll just put it on and know that that looks silly, mm-hmm. and that's like part of it. I'm just like, this just looks silly on me. And then I'll go out, do like some sort of character. So I went out and I just did Clarissa, who's this girl who just occasionally just yells. And but after a bit, I think it was doing it to Courtney, she didn't quite laugh. So I just stopped and I just started laughing. And I was like, what? I was genuinely being like, what are we doing? Like, I like, wow. I've done that a couple times where I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah. What is society?
What, yeah. What the hell like a little are we breakdown. Doing?
But that's like, that's the beauty of Try Not to Laugh is mm-hmm. like, you can easily pivot to whatever you want if it's not hitting right. I think I tend to just like choke, but sometimes the choking kind of pays off. Like sometimes sure. that'll get a laugh because you're like, well, that didn't work. You know.
Well, I think we also got in a habit of so much success during Try Not to Laugh. Not like not. I'm not talking like clicks and views and all that stuff. I mean like with each other. Like we will yeah. mostly laugh for each other because we've like definitely gelled and found each other's style and all that stuff. But I think like failure is part of it. It's fun. You know, I especially come from like a background where I was exclusively Smosh Games. It's fun to watch people fail sometimes, especially if you can brush it off. Mm-hmm. That's why mm-hmm. we do punishment videos. So I think like, you know, for you to choke and be able to play it off and still have it be good, that's in my mind kind of the ideal. And I'd kind of like to do that more.
Yeah. I mean, you're not always going to know what's going to be hilarious mm-hmm. without, you know, sometimes pushing those boundaries, like making yeah. a joke about Hitler.
Right.
So that's what I was doing, guys. I was trying to really, nobody's ever made a joke about Hitler before.
That's true.
So it was really pushing the
boundaries.
Yeah,
I'd never heard one.
I never even heard of this too.
But yeah, I yes, Kevin?
It's really fun for me having Kevin in this like glass window. We've got sort of like a new setup now and I can just see Kevin at all times and I keep making eye contact, basically saying, edit this, mother goose.
But I mean, like the great thing is like we do have the ability to just like go out there and just do whatever. And if it's truly bad, like truly not funny, then we just cut it out of the video.
I mean, I feel like part of the point of Try Not to Laugh is to fail. Like if, yeah. if you're only succeeding at a challenge,
that's
it's no longer
saying.
A challenge. Right. It's, yeah, you got to have them to equal it out. And so, you know, sometimes it happens. And, you know, there's definitely sometimes with jokes where someone's making a joke and I'm like, this is funny, but I'm just not laughing right now. I'm just not laughing at it. And sometimes I'll be like, you know what? I could laugh. I could laugh at this. It's a funny joke, but I'm just like, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can't laugh at every joke.
Right.
I want to. I laugh at most things.
Gus.
Honestly. Moose. Gus, man. I now plan my, I plan my jokes around Gus not laughing now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why my last one that I did went for 5 minutes mm-hmm. was because I was like, I know I can do this. Like, I know I'll have 5 minutes because he won't laugh. And he was damn close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
He was dying.
He was
literally
laughing,
red.
But his mouth was closed.
Like, sure.
That's a laugh.
But I look, at this point, I'm like, that's the bar he set. I'm like, I gotta. If he like makes it easy, if I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's not a
at
true
this
victory.
Point now. At this point now, I need to like, I need to make a joke that pries his mouth open and, you know, he spits water everywhere.
You're literally like an anime rival at this point. Where yes. Like, you're Bakugo being like, get back up. We're not done fighting.
Yeah.
I don't want to win this way.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That is definitely where I'm at. I don't want him to give it to me.
Yeah.
I want to friggin' earn it.
He was laughing.
Sure. But sure. But it's possible. It's possible to make him spit out water. With him trying his damnedest to keep it in.
You're going
to
do it.
See.
I think I am going to do it. I'm the next time, you know, obviously we'll see when we can get him in. There's a lot of, you know, regulations and stuff right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the next time we're able to get him in, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go extra hard.
I believe in you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like we're still figuring out how we could possibly get guests on our you know, shows. It's much harder now because we're trying to be as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. So that's why, yeah, you guys are not seeing some of the collabs. There's a few people that I really do want to collab with, and we just got to figure it out because I got some other people in mind.
Nice.
That would be very funny.
I have a thought of one more, like, quote unquote, fail for myself. It's not that it doesn't get, you know, recognized in comments or anything. It's not that it doesn't do okay for people, but personally, it's never been like I've had the same joke for it over and over again. And it's never quite been that good, but I keep doing it. It's the Burger Man. It's the Burgerman. I like the name the Burgerman. I think that's fun. And I like walking out and saying, I'm the Burgerman. And it's dumb and it makes me chuckle. But for me to truly memorize a full-ass poem and the whole joke is me saying, no, I wrote this famous poem and then doing it, it's not really that funny to me. I would much rather start a scene with I'm the Boogeyman and then make a character based on that who doesn't have to do poetry. I feel like I just got, okay. I got in a rut for a long time, I think.
A Boogeyman rut?
Try not to laugh rut in general, because we do so many of them, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I feel like a lot of the props I've seen over and over too, but I just sort of lost what was, you know, because it became a little less special for me because I was in every single one of them, whereas before it would be like a rare treat when I was. Now there's been a little bit of balance where like I'm not in everyone and I feel like so refreshed. Like there's a few that we just filmed. I don't know what's going to be out by the time we, you know, put this out, but like I felt better about the last couple rounds I did than I've felt in like a year.
Oh, that's awesome. Great.
So I feel pretty stoked.
Yeah, well, I think we are shooting, it feels like we're shooting less of them now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have the same amount coming out.
I think also like with like the format changes as well, like with some of them being like gauntlet style, then sure. We did like the duel.
That helps. It definitely helps.
We've also had more players added into the mix. Like yeah, Jackie,
that's true. More and, people. There was a phase, and Damien, this was when you were kind of like, you would be in a couple of them, but mm-hmm. there was a phase early on, like when we're doing like Try Not to Laugh number 7, right? Mm. Around that time, we would shoot 4 in a row. Mm.
That's too much.
And it was, and that's why, well, a lot of them just didn't make the cut, which sucks that it's like, so we wasted our time. But if you watch some of those old ones, and I think there's a charm to it, but they are pure chaos. Like they're not organized jokes. It's us coming out and nobody has any idea what they're doing. And it's us, you know, it's mostly inside jokes. It's a ton of inside jokes back then.
Because they're literally doing whatever they can to make that person laugh rather and than come out with something funny.
And it benefited back then from like, it was so new for all of us. We had all these jokes. I mean, that's before You're My Favorite Pizza Place or, you know, the Dumpster Wizard and all these bits. That we would do, so everything's new. Yeah, I feel like it comes and goes. Like I'll have a week where I'm like, oh yeah, I've got it figured out, mm-hmm. and then I'll have weeks where I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
I'm excited to be able to talk about this next batch that we filmed because I don't really want to give away what we did special about it necessarily, but what we did special about the one that I'm talking about has really made things fresh for me again, which I'm very excited.
I felt okay.
Yeah.
About myself.
Okay.
But I did think everyone else was really on fire.
I think Try Not to Laugh, we also have a tendency to be hard on ourselves.
Oh, for sure. Filming. For sure.
So I was like, you did great. I was a dumpster fire.
We
you
all
did
do
great.
That. And also, like, they always come out funnier than a lot of times in person. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, oh, I don't know how that went.
A little twinge of editing certainly helps things along.
Helps the timing sometimes.
And also you're just looking at it from an outside perspective because when you're in it, doing it, you're very self-critical.
Sure, sure.
So it's less pressure. This one's a quick one. Andrea Amp 01 asked, why don't you use water anymore? Why harmonicas? I think it's more genuine with water. Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, we would be using water.
That
if
would
we
be
could.
The ideal.
Yeah, we're trying to be as safe as possible, and we figure spraying water all over people and
surfaces,
a very small room and surfaces, probably not the best thing to do right now.
I don't know if you heard, but you're going to want to sit down for this. There's a global pandemic and germs are very dangerous.
That question
right
came from New Zealand. So she's like, wait.
Oh, she's doing great.
You
then.
Still got it there? Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's awesome here.
Well, how do you guys feel about the harmonicas right now?
I feel like it's a good compromise though. I mean, it's not ideal. It's much more funny and visceral to have that spray of water. But I think in terms of substitutes, like, it's not something I would have thought of, and I think it's great.
I think the harmonicas are it's harder to contain a laugh, mm-hmm. like, because you have your mouth is open, you have the harmonica in your mouth, so you can't pull. I'd be curious if Gus Johnson had to use a harmonica. I think he would laugh. Yeah.
It's actually more difficult for me to laugh with a harmonica.
Really?
Because I have TMJ, and so like trying to fit my mouth over a harmonica and sort of keep it there is not comfortable in general. So like I'm kind of hurting.
Makes sense.
You got to get like the musician harmonica holder.
Wait,
so
why don't we have that? Wait, why is that already not a
thing? We should, yeah,
that's already a thing we should do.
Oh my gosh, just freaking, just bear it for 5 minutes.
Do you see what we do?
Do you see who this is?
I have a condition.
These freaking guys.
Wow.
Yeah, no, TMJ sucks.
It does.
I'm sorry about
that. Stands for totally messed up jaw.
Dude, for reals.
It sucks.
For reals. Have you tried taking it off? Unplugging it and replugging it back in?
I did have a call in to Spectrum Internet about my jaw.
Okay.
They are going to have a technician come out in a few months.
And then fuck it up real bad.
They'll give you an 8-hour window.
Punch me in the neck.
They'll give you an 8-hour window for tomorrow and come next year.
That's true. Yeah.
Damn.
Shout out to all internet companies.
Roast. Yeah, basically any carrier.
I just picked one, but shout out to... It's actually, any. I've had the best... I had probably my best experience with Spectrum. Hit me up, Spectrum.
Yeah, so we agree. It'd be fun to get back to water, but...
One day.
But right now, we got to look out for each other. We gotta make sure we're all being as safe as possible because we want to keep trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys.
Oh, yes, Coven.
What would you say, hypothetically speaking, what would you use instead of a harmonica?
Oh.
Kazoo.
Milk.
I'm going to use the big mouth thing.
Can you imagine
milk?
Try not to laugh with milk instead of water?
Can we combine your ideas?
It's milk the big through mouth a thing. Harmonica?
No, it's the big mouth thing with milk. You're just like
yeah, just choking. How about bananas? Just chewed up bananas in your mouth. So when you laugh, it just goes...
I'll just have my saxophone.
Yes, sweet. Please. Can we just do a sax episode?
You say a joke and I'm just like...
Yeah.
We can have that little bit.
Okay.
It was off key enough, Kevin.
Yeah, it was.
We can do it.
Okay.
Well, everybody sing off key from now on. We'll try it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That was actually too good. Don't do that again.
Oh, damn it.
Can you play that riff?
I did. I booked a commercial playing that riff.
What?
So I had a Subway commercial that I booked. And I went in and they were like, yeah, we need a person who can play an instrument, like a saxophone or something. So I brought in my saxophone and they're like, yeah, play a little bit. And I played that. I played Whisper of the Heart.
Wow.
This was years ago. I cannot play
I knew
that
about
well.
That Subway commercial. I don't know how I ever didn't know
so,
about the saxophone.
So I played the saxophone and they were like, awesome. And I played that bit and they're like, that's hilarious. And they're like, yeah, we'll let you know. And then I booked it. And then in the commercial, I played a Subway employee who worked at the food station. So it had absolutely nothing to do with instruments.
That happens a lot.
But it happens all the time with commercials.
But it's about the feeling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They wanted a man that knew how to handle a wind instrument.
Brass?
That's brass.
Brass. You know what I mean? Right. Brass.
I didn't know what you meant. It was brass.
No, we were very confused.
It's technically a wind instrument. You know, you're blowing wind through it.
Sure.
I don't think that's. it's called woodwind.
Yeah, well,
it's not made of wood.
No, I took that back. I was like wind instrument.
Ah, yes, a brass wind.
Brass wind.
I actually don't know the terminology of a lot of them.
Trust me, I was last seat trumpet in eighth grade.
Nice.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say kazoo would be easier to hold, or we can combine our technology with Smosh Games technology and do one of those facial tracker things. And if it's like if your cheekbones get to a certain level, the computer sends an electric shock to everyone in the room.
Okay. Yeah.
Next question.
Do you think we should become what do they call those? The anime people, V streamers?
Vocaloids?
No.
What?
No. They call it something else. Because I know like Pokimane just got a bunch of shit for it.
People really like.
You know when you could do they have like a tracker thing where you could turn yourself into like an anime waifu.
Oh.
And you could just stream as an anime waifu.
Oh.
And
that's cool.
They're called, I think they're virtual anime YouTubers.
Yeah, they call them like VTubers or something
awesome.
Like that.
Well, that's, yeah, good for them.
So I think we should become VTubers for our next Try Not to Laugh.
Going back really quick,
yes.
I don't keep up to date with a lot of these things.
Sure.
I know who these people are. The only thing I've ever heard about Pokimane is people being mad at her, and then I find out why they're mad at her, and I'm like, wait, she did nothing?
Like people, it's called being a female in the gaming space. People, I'm serious. Yeah. People are just assholes to you.
Because it'll literally be like, oh, she streamed for an hour yesterday. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, she has a boyfriend. I'm like, that's the, what?
Yeah, you're mad. I was like,
you're mad at her
you?
For doing things.
Well, and this is the thing. Like, we say that and then we'll get a comment in this video that go, you don't understand what she's done. She's done this and this and this. And it's like,
I don't have time.
My guy, you need a hobby.
I don't have time. I don't have time to be pissed off at someone I've never met.
Oh, there's a huge
like, well, bro. There's a virus trying to kill us all.
Yeah,
I don't have time to be mad at Pokimane.
I mean, there's a lot of people, probably mostly men, that are angry at female streamers because they think that the only thing they have to offer is their good looks, and they're angry because other people want to give them money. Just because she's just like a girl and you just want to give her money because she's a girl. And it's like, no, I mean, they want to watch somebody. They want to support them.
I've been seeing TikToks recently doing a bunch of that stuff. There's that girl, Bella, whatever, who does like the face tracking, like camera tracking to her face thing to like certain songs. And she's doing this and getting millions and millions of views. And it's like, that's great. If someone wants to watch that, if a million people want to watch that, that's fantastic. But I'm starting to get these like angry young men that are like, I put hours of work into my video and all she does is do this and get millions of views. So here's my video. And I watched it and I was like, oh, that was mediocre. And you're also not charismatic at all. Like,
yeah,
there is an it factor. There's sometimes. Also a bunch it's of not just being pretty. It's like knowing how to use the algorithm, work the system.
And
like,
also there's that girl doing her thing. There's also a bunch of dudes who are getting away with making easy ass dumb content.
Yeah.
But you're not mad at them. Like, I don't know. Every time
Come on,
I see
there's a bunch of mediocre white dudes. That have gotten.
I don't know. Whenever I see,
whenever
I see people yelling about something dumb like that, where they're mad. It's one thing to be mad on the internet about politics or you know the climate or whatever, but it's like when they're mad about that and they're very like they're screaming about Pokimane because she dressed a certain way. I'm like, bro, log off and go watch a movie. Like, go do something nice, man. Why are you doing this?
There is a life hack for that. In most windows of like a computer screen, if you have like Pokemon on there and you don't like it, if you look in the top right, you click that X and then you go fuck yourself because that's
I think that's what always fascinates me about hate comments is that I'm just like, you don't have to watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a thing that's been said a million times for decades. It's just like, oh, well, if you don't like it, don't watch it. But honestly, for real, hold on. I do actually want to say this because this is true. That, you know, people like, you know, there's a lot of shitty YouTubers out there who are actually toxic. They stay alive because we hate watch them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's their whole business plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're hate watching someone, know that you are only helping them.
Also, if somebody's giving money to Pokimane, big fucking deal. It's not your money.
Yeah, they're not going to give it to you instead.
She's not scamming them. She's giving them what they want.
Yeah.
And if she wasn't, they wouldn't be giving her money.
Yeah.
People give money to dumb things all the time.
Yeah, come on. People go to friggin' strip clubs, all right? That's a waste of money in a way. I mean, look, people like strip clubs. Nothing wrong with that. But do I sit outside a strip club and yell at people for throwing their money at a stripper?
Not anymore, because I'm not allowed on the property.
Look, I mean, I'm not comparing Pokimane to a stripper.
I think
I think there's nothing wrong with being a stripper as well. Being a sex worker is you know,
you're covering all your bases.
That's fine.
But yeah, I'm not covering those bases. But what we're saying is we're not mad. I don't care how people legally spend their money.
Yeah.
No,
I don't even.
Yeah. It's not.
I was gonna say like I don't even care if someone's. I don't know.
You don't have to.
Okay.
you want me to redact that one, Shane?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We can cut out most of this.
We don't
podcast.
Need. We don't need this podcast.
We don't.
We really don't.
All right, we got worked up on.
We're getting worked up.
I think
up
we're also, just mad. Also, I think everyone's mad.
Also, the funny thing. All right, one more thing about Pokimane, then I'm gonna shut the fuck up.
Nice. Welcome to the Pokimane.
All cast. these people. Who I'm assuming is like young guys that have never woken up next to another female before. Share this no makeup picture of Pokimane like they're fucking checkmating her. They're like, oh, but look at her without makeup. She's ugly. She looks like a human being without makeup.
It's just distorted expectations, distorted like sort of ideas of what reality should be. It's all distortion there. It's all a mess. And you also don't know that person and they also don't know you anything. Every single part of the interaction is distorted.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, Damien and I did a Twitch awards stream.
Uh-huh.
And
Was Pokimane we were, there?
So Pokimane was in it. So she introduced an award, and it comes back to us, and I just turn to Damien, and I just go, dude, I can't believe that was Pokemon. we were just out
so
of it.
Funny.
We lost our minds.
Well, we had had a full filming week, and we just started Twitch, and it was like that's an additional extra thing on top of our normal Twitch schedule. And like we were hungry, and they like fed us these big sandwiches, which were nice. But then you get all sleepy and weird, uh-huh. and then you're given the
we
power
lost
of
our minds.
Being live
that was Pokemon.
Dude, can't believe that was Pokemon. we were doing our Bug Snacks joke came from that Twitch
yes.
stream.
Oh. I had been talking about Bug Snacks for like a couple months, and then all of a sudden, it was like a nominee for many of those things. So I was like, dude, I'm going to talk about Bugsnax the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Bugsnax got nominated?
Yes, the trailer got nominated.
For cutest game or whatever.
I want them to go hardcore like that with like the Academy Awards. Like, and the winner of Best Picture is the trailer for Dune.
Yeah.
Is the thing that Steve just started writing. Stand up, Steve. He's like, I just started writing it.
Holy crap.
It'll be good, I promise.
Whoa.
This one comes from Saturn Alysis. They asked, I remember watching a Valley Folk vlog and they showed you guys warming up for Try Not to Laugh. What kinds of acting / improv warm-ups do you usually do? What's the warm-up process like? We mainly just do warm-ups for Try Not to Laugh, right?
Yeah. I think it's Saturnalysis. I just thought about the name.
Saturnalysis.
That makes fun. I just thought about it.
Saturnalysis. Yes?
Yeah, we usually only warm up for Try Not to Laugh. I think we've just gotten into a good place lately where we're playing more like fun, thinky-based games. I'm personally in a place where, as someone who's been doing improv for almost, I don't know, like a decade and a half now, maybe more, I can't play another round of Zip Zap Zop and feel like it will ever benefit me or anyone else ever again.
Yeah, I never really saw the appeal of Zip Zap Zop.
The point of those is just to get the energy up.
What is Zip Zap Zop?
So Zip Zap Zop, for those of you who don't know, you stand in a circle and you make eye contact with someone and point, and the pattern is always Zip Zap Zop. So if I said zip and looked at Ian and pointed, he would then say
zap
and send it over to maybe Shane
and go zop
and send it back to me, or I can send it across the circle. And so it's, you try to go faster and zip zap zop zip zap zop zip zap zop, and it just sort of gets you thinking on your feet.
And also it's supposed to connect you, because mm-hmm. you can be the funniest person in the world if you're not on the same page and connecting with your other performers.
You have to be present.
You're not going to do anything. You're just going to be saying your own jokes. You'll be doing stand up next mm-hmm. to other people.
That's true.
And that's kind of like the most important, I mean, aside from the holy shit, now I forgot the phrase, but just say yes. What's the
yes
phrase?
And. Yes and.
Sorry. That's one of the most important things about improv, is just being present and listening to other people and watching what's going on, rather than thinking in your own head, like, what am I going to do that's the funniest thing?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, some of the best improvisers I've seen in classes aren't funny people. They're just so, like, they're great listeners, and they just play along with mm-hmm. everybody else that it just works.
Totally.
Because sometimes there's nothing funnier than just someone accepting a crazy thing.
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, you're the present. They're like, I know. And it's just like, that's funny. Yeah. That's already funny.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's why improv is so important for just, like, everyday life.
Oh, totally.
Like in conversation, I feel like conversations are so much better when you kind of follow the core tenets of improv, where you're not thinking like, what am I going to say? When is my chance to talk? When is my chance to talk? You're listening to the person, taking it in, and then responding.
It's actually why in a lot of improv classes, stand-up comedians, and there's a lot of them that are in the improv classes I've taken, are sometimes they're the worst.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to just doing their own thing, being in control of it, and they try to control it, and they try to just do their own storyline, and they don't work with anyone else, so the scene gets stalled.
That's true. Mm. One of my favorite warm-up things that we started doing not too long ago, that I knew from like a while back and was always my favorite, is called either 7 things or 5 things.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this one because it actually does get up energy. Zip, zap, zop, that kind of stuff. Whoosh, bong, another similar game. It can all be a little bit tiring. But 5 things is basically like, everybody has their own different rhythm, but usually we go like, oh, and then you'd start off, I'd be like, Shane, give me 5 cereals that don't exist yet. And you'd
and
have to like fire
like,
them off as you
and everyone's
like, slapping
like
your legs.
Like
Cilios.
1.
Like
Cardigan Flakes.
2.
Glasses.
3.
Olivia.
4.
And cereal, the cereal by cereal.
5. 5 things.
And then I'd be like,
oh,
Ian. Superman.
Yeah.
Give me five superheroes who can defeat Superman.
Oh, Big Bungus.
One.
The Tweaker.
Two.
Fireman.
Three.
Sun God. The Raw.
Four.
And climate change.
Five
things.
Whoa.
Damien, give me five pairs of jeans that you can't wear in Afghanistan.
Fun washed denim.
One.
The Manteca blend from Lucky Brand.
Two.
Jean shorts, but it's only for your top, so it's like a Tim vest.
Three.
Jean blindfold, because watch where you're going, silly. You're driving in Afghanistan.
Four.
And Mario's favorite, denim.
Five.
Five things. Nice.
So it just gets you out of your brain. Because there's no way, and we do it faster, louder, more energetic, but we're obviously not in the space for that. But it gets you out of your head because, like, I can't know what weird prompt Ian was going to give me. Five jeans you can't wear in Afghanistan? Okay, great. Nothing I can plan. So
yeah.
That makes me think I want to get Tim a denim vest.
Oh, ask Matthew Scott.
Ooh,
I'm sure
that's
he has some spares.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's also just like a very like uniting kind of game because everyone's like
up.
Laughing at your things. Yes. Yeah. And
it, yeah, what's nice about that game is you can just say gibberish.
Yep.
Literally,
yep.
Sometimes people have just been like, buh. It's like, that counts.
Well, yep. Big Bungus, I think you said. Like,
Big
yeah,
Bungus.
Yeah. And I like that one too. I have a vendetta sort of against the beginner improv games now. Not if you are a beginner and not if you have, you know, even if you've been doing it for like 5 years, like you're going to play those same games over and over. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But it sort of feels like, I don't know, your favorite hobby is weightlifting and you do it every day, but you show up every class and someone goes, all right, so let me tell you how to warm up and lift weights properly. And you're going to go like, well, gosh, eventually I know that. Can I get into it a little sooner? Like,
that's
true.
That's true.
But yeah, the warmups, I think that's something that we started doing, gosh, because we didn't start off doing that with Try Not to Laugh. But that was something where it was just like, because we would come into the room and it'd be like, let's get to it. And like the energy would just be kind of low. And we realized like, oh no, like the warmup makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Because
like no matter what we went through that day or like how deep into the week of shooting we are and like no matter how tired we are, the warm up kind of gets everyone like hyped up and also on the same level.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're already starting from a base of like supporting each other. Mm-hmm. Like,
who leads the warm ups?
Usually Garrett leads the warm up because Garrett, our lovely producer who you guys may see in Eat It or Yeet It, is kind of like he's an improv veteran. So he's deep into the improv world. So he's usually leading the charge.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's always a fun time.
Nice.
It's a very nice time.
Real quick, I want to get through this last question before we close out. Adya Aurora said, I need you to explain me Olivia's humor. I love her. I think I'm close, but I need closer observations.
Look, I have been very vocal about this for many years. I was in that first Try Not to Laugh with the gang with Olivia, and you know, started off. It's been there, Olivia making zero sense. I don't know. I don't know how she comes up with the things she comes up with because they're beyond just weird. They're just there's connections there, but where did you come up with this with anti-Rogaine commercial? Where did you come up with that? I don't know. And Olivia is like that all the time. I mean, she really will sometimes just say something and I'm like, where did that thought come from? And it's a lot of times like the I don't know. I'm fascinated by it and it's hilarious. And it's gotten better. Like she has honed her craft, but she has stayed in this very weird realm of it is the most confusing thing.
Yeah,
but also very funny.
I think she's super funny, and I really respect her style. I think something interesting about comedy in a way that you can really get to people is making them uncomfortable. And I don't mean in the sense of like, ooh, you said something kind of like, it's more like you're in a space of not being sure what to expect and sometimes not even being sure of if the bit has started yet. And you basically, in a weird way, get everybody in the room on the same page at that same moment because everyone's going, what are you thinking? And you're in her world now. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to stick to the 30-second time limit. And that's okay. We know what to expect. And I think it's so funny. You get so many moments of gold. And sometimes it may not like come to fruition like she was hoping. But I think 9 times out of 10, you end up with this big nugget of gold or at least a good experience from it. And, you know, if you don't get it, that's okay. But like Adult Swim is funny as hell, but not everybody likes Adult Swim. And it's weird and off kilter and doesn't make sense. And there are shows where you're like, I didn't understand a word of that. And like, yeah, but there's a whole audience for it. Yeah. So that's my thought.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could never, ever predict where her jokes are going. And usually I can kind of get a sense of like what a punchline will be. Mm-hmm. But like, okay, I see what you're doing with this. Olivia, I never have any idea. I mean, the anti-Rogaine commercial is a perfect example because she comes out, it seems, I was like, okay, she's dressed as an old man. What's that? And then Tim comes out and yells, give me all your money. Mm-hmm. None of us would have ever put money on that. No. Never.
Nope. That's great.
I think the weird thing is like because she's established herself as this like weird wild card, I think we've sort of encouraged that sort of behavior from mm-hmm. her because I think Olivia is just naturally funny. Mm-hmm. Like she's not just like weird funny. Like that's the thing that we've encouraged for her on Try Not to Laugh. But Olivia is just she's just naturally funny on her own.
Yes.
Even outside of just doing the weird stuff. So it's funny. I would like to see her show some of that and Try Not to Laugh. Sometimes it's a little harder because just the on the cuff nature of things tends to favor the random.
Yeah.
But I know Olivia has it. I know we can see more of that. We do often encourage the weird side of Olivia.
Oh,
which can't be matched.
No, I've never met anyone who can tell jokes like she does.
Well, because like not only that, like think about those moments sometimes where like she'll come out on stage to start a bit and there might be silence for 10 seconds and you're already in that space of like, what is about to happen? I'm not sure. What's going on? That's the like level of like getting you on her plane that I'm talking about. Whereas I think if I were to walk out and not move and stand there for 10 seconds of silence, you would not get the same feeling whatsoever.
Right.
And that's masterful. There's something about that where you're like, you are doing something and you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I
you know what it
that.
Is? It's pure chaos, but she's so focused mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like a lot of times when it's chaos, it's because that person doesn't even know what they're doing.
Sure.
But it's chaotic, but she is honed in.
She's mm-hmm. a chaotic good.
She's just focused.
Chaotic neutral.
Focused chaos. Yeah. Focused chaos.
Yeah. I like it.
So I hope that gave you guys a little insight into the wonderful world of Try Not to Laugh.
Disney.
Of Disney, yeah.
Yeah, the wonderful world of Disney.
This is where we announced we got bought out by Disney.
Sorry, oh, are we guys. Part of everyone?
Yeah. You'll be seeing us in The Mandalorian 2.
This sounds like a dope kinda, deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys, I negotiated a big part for myself. And you guys are going to be Stormtrooper 1 and 2.
Nice. We're one
well,
and two.
No, 1 and 2. Hell
it's
yeah.
Special.
That's
kind
promotion.
Of no, but it's like there's like 1,000 and you guys are like in the back.
Well, that's because we're the leaders often stay in the back. Mm-hmm. You know, uh-huh. they'll probably get a good the panning shot will definitely show us. Like the sweeping shot overall.
Panning Tatum.
Panning Tatum.
Yeah. There's a lot of smoke.
Thanks for that.
There's a lot of smoke in the scene though. So yeah.
That's fine. I mean, we're wearing white, it'll stand out. You'll see.
It's white smoke.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like then I'll bleed on
so
my.
So there's a new Pope.
Oh.
All right. Now it's time for our shoot, dude.
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 I shart.
Shart.
I think I just sharted.
Oh, I just shooted my dude.
I appear to have shooted my dude. Darkness am strongest than shoot dude, Sora.
All right.
One of these times, one of these shoot dudes is going to be so bad, it's going to end and we're going to go, shit, motherfucker.
Well, this one comes from Rebecca. This was in 2014, and I was going home for the holidays on a 4 to 5 hour flight out of San Diego. The plane had just taken off and finally settled in the air, and I was kind of thirsty, so I grabbed my water bottle from my backpack. It's the hard plastic kind where you click a button and the straw will pop up. Keep in mind, I'm in row 26 and in the window seat, so it's pretty cramped. And I'm flying alone, so everyone is a stranger. I clicked the button as I always did, and to my horror, the water shot out of the straw in a single stream for what felt like an eternity. I immediately closed it, but it was too late. The water went straight up into the overhead dashboard, spread, and then rained over myself, the person to my left, the two people in the row ahead of me, and the two people behind me for a few seconds. I was mortified.
Shoot, dude.
Hold on.
Oh,
not done. Once it stopped, I used the button to call the flight attendant over to ask for tons of napkins. I handed them out to everyone around me and apologized profusely before I dried the dashboard and dealt with myself. The rest of the four-hour flight, I had to sit in silence in my own embarrassment while my pants, seat, hair, and back of my jacket were really wet. Now, whenever I fly, I refuse to take a sip of any water bottle I bring without releasing some pressure first by twisting the lid. I hope this story can save you all from making the same mistake I did.
Shoot, dude.
Shoot, dude.
Shoot, dude.
Oh, shoot.
That's pretty bad.
Can you even bring those anymore? Like, how long ago was that? Like, I don't think you can bring your own water bottle.
Yeah, you can. No, you have to empty it when you go through security, but then you fill it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can have a water bottle.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I didn't know that even a little bit.
There's even a lot of airports that now have like the water bottle filling stations.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And it has like a little counter of like, yeah, you saved this much plastic.
It's probably snake water. You don't want to use that.
Yeah.
You're probably using snake water.
That's pretty rough. That's a good shoot, dude.
That's pretty good shoot, dude.
I mean, I'm curious what the other people's reactions were.
Yeah. I'm sure there was at least a couple people that were like, you know, it's pretty rare that everybody would be super understanding.
Depending on the boomerness of like what the boomer quotient was around. Like, I would say that there was probably some,
the boomitude.
Depending
on the boomitude.
The boomitude.
Yeah. Me and you and Zaboomitude. Yeah.
The boomitude.
I like that.
It is fascinating how on every plane there is always you meet more entitled people on planes than anywhere.
Yeah,
like
the worst.
People are just like, oh, I can't believe you've inconvenienced me like this.
I'm about to soar through the sky as a god. How dare you.
I think maybe it's just like the you have to have money in order to fly, so maybe it's like there's a certain amount of privilege.
True.
that people flying generally have,
I guess, maybe? Everyone's also just pissed on flights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. No one's stoked. So if you're a bad person, it's going to really come out.
Yeah. I also think in general, when it comes to retail, customer support, things like that, in life, you have to feel times where you feel confident or powerful at some point. And I think a lot of people don't have that. They feel power nowhere, not even in themselves, in their own home, whatever.
True.
So when they go to a place where someone has to treat them nicely and be like, thank you so much for coming to Starbucks. How are you today? That is their one moment where they get to be like, I'm bigger than you and better than you in this moment. And if it's 8 pumps of vanilla, I'll kill your family, but it better be 7 pumps of vanilla. Like,
was this on the Australian flight where there was like that, there was like a larger man that like sat in one of the seats around us, and this woman was like super outspoken how she didn't want to like sit next to him because he was going to take.
I don't remember that.
Oh, bro.
Wow. I don't recall that.
It was super awkies.
Was there clearly enough room for both people to exist? Or
I don't know. I didn't really look, but
it's
I was
still
like,
very rude
I was like,
to
damn,
say that about
me.
Somebody. That's pretty awful.
I could never imagine being that confrontational.
Yeah. It was like some old British lady was like super upset, and it's like, well,
that's how big the person is. Like, that's you sort of, we have to do that. We're not going to throw this person into a different part of the plane.
It reminds me of a time I was probably like 8 to 10 years old, and I got on a flight and I was flying by myself, but I got on a flight. I sat down on this row. It was an aisle seat, and there was a, you know, middle-aged guy sitting next to me, and immediately I sit down and he starts looking around, and then he asked the flight attendant, he goes, is there a seat not next to a child or whatever? And I was just like, what the fuck? Mm. And he got up and like moved. And I was like, I remember at the time, I was just like, whatever. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I'm just a quiet kid. I look back and I'm like, was he legally not allowed to sit next to me? That's now where my head goes. Because I was like, that's such a weird thing to do.
No, I think that guy is just being a jerk.
I think he was being a jerk. I think he was being just a weird jerk.
Well, you also left out the part where you were covered in your own throw up.
I was just peeing. I sat down, I turned to him, I go, pee pee poo poo check, and I just shit and peed as hard as I could.
Check, time to check it. Yup. Oh, we got it. We're covered in book department.
Yeah, nice. Pee pee poo poo check passed.
Yeah, so next time you guys get on a flight, you know, once it's safe to do so,
make sure to do a pee pee poo poo check.
Please, and record it and send it to Shoot Dude.
Yeah.
Send it to shootdude@smosh.com, right?
Yep, that's correct.
That doesn't count as a Shoot Dude. That's a shit your pants. That's not a Shoot Dude.
Yo, okay. Literally though, don't do it, but record yourself saying loudly on a plane, pee pee poo poo check, and send it to us and we'll retweet it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and if you get kicked off the plane before it takes off, Ian Hecox will reimburse you for your flight and time.
Also, film yourself going to McDonald's and saying Cactus Jack sent you.
No, I'm going to have to tell you about TikTok because there's a lot of it.
Yeah, and I think it's that's covered.
It's a big thing.
Anyways.
Any buts.
Kevin is just like, damn.
He's like, how am I going to cobble this together?
I got to squeeze a minute out of this.
This is a chaotic episode.
This is, I'll say, this is the worst one I've ever been on. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's great. It's fun. I'm kidding.
So send your Shoot Dudes to shootdude@smosh.com. That's shootdode@smosh.com. We would love to hear all your Shoot Dudes. Just a heads up, we're on Twitch now. Twitch.tv/smoshgames. We're recording every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We got all sorts of fun stuff planned. Mondays, we're doing Bored AF. Wednesdays, we're doing like a just chatting kind of thing. And on Fridays, we're going to be playing more like video game stuff. Last week, we played Fall Guys. Well, this would be like weeks after, but we played Fall Guys with Rock Band controllers with a freaking drum set. So that's just the kind of cool insanity that you can expect from us at Twitch. So come check us out. Please rate us 5 stars in any of the podcast apps that you're listening to us on. Mm-hmm. If you want to check us out, see our beautiful faces, you could check us out on the Smoshcast YouTube channel. And if you want to listen to us early, we're on any of the podcast apps that you can possibly find. I dare you to try to find a podcast app where we don't exist.
Duolingo?
Oh, no.
Ah, K-Lastima?
K-Lastima.
All right.
Fool. Darkness am strongest than K-Lastima.
God damn it. Shane, Damien, this has been an absolute displeasure.
Arrivederci.
Goodbye.
It's been cool. Bulbasaur.